You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Cubs fans, and welcome to Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Joe Kilgallen. You can follow me on Twitter. That's simply at Joe Kilgallen. Give this podcast a follow as well. That is at Locked On Cubs. I hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. I do. I hope you really enjoyed yourself out there. The Cubs split the series with the St. Louis Cardinals, one game apiece. Talk a little bit about that. I'm a little disappointed because I was supposed to be in attendance for yesterday's game. I was going to be there with a bunch of family. My uncle Paul was in town. What's up, Uncle Paul? My Aunt Patty as well. You know, they come in, they get a rooftop for a bunch of people. We're all looking forward to it. The game gets called because of rain. Rain that never arrived. Was it drizzling a little wet in the morning? Sure. But by 1:20, nada. All the way through, they could have easily played that game. Very annoying move by the Cubs or MLB. I'm not really sure who's in charge of calling for a rainout. I used to think maybe it was the home team, but this would not have made sense. I don't know. Or maybe like, hey, maybe it's a 70% chance of rain. They go, ah, that's not enough. Or that's enough to just say, forget it. Either way, I was disappointed I get to go to the game. I was really looking forward to, you know, soaking it up a little bit because, again, you know, this could be a lot of our favorite players' last games. I know I don't want to get all that sad to start the podcast. You don't want to be that guy, right, Joe? This episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB Prospects. The draft was last night. Of course, we'll be talking about the Cubs pick and some other exciting stuff on the minor league front. Host Aram Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. That's right, everyone. The Cubs picked at the number 21 spot in the draft, choosing left-handed pitcher Jordan Wicks. I'll be talking about Jordan, and I'm excited about the pick. I'll tell you that up front, but we'll be breaking down a little bit more what is in his pitching repertoire. Also, we talk about Brennan Davis's absolute dominating performance he put on. That guy was fantastic in the Futures games in Denver as part of the All-Star Games activities. They do an annual Futures games where they choose some of the best and brightest stars, future stars in Major League Baseball. And Brennan Davis took home that MVP award. But first, got to lead off by talking a little bit about the weekend. I mentioned that the Cardinals and Cubs split because they didn't get to play that third game, the rubber game. The Cubs won Friday. It's one of their better games of the season. A lot of offense. A really cool moment from that that I'll shine a little light on. Chris Bryant did not start that game. He was pulled from Thursday's game with a little hamstring issue, a little tenderness. They said nothing too serious, but enough where they're like, let's take you off the field. We don't want to hurt your trade value. They didn't say that, but we all know. We're not idiots. Don't insult us. They did use him as a pinch hitter, though, to really put the Cardinals away. Bases were loaded. KB steps up, takes the first pitch he sees, hits it off the wall for a bases clearing double. Then he is immediately taken out of the game. He gets to sit in the dugout there, popping his hat up, looking cool, like, what's up? And it was a nice little moment. So the Cubs beat the Cardinals, I believe, by a score of 8-3. Then they lose the next day, 6-0. I was at a wedding, so I didn't get to watch the game live as it was happening. I saw some highlights. I was following along on the MLB at Bat app, but I did not get to see every little detail. So what I'm about to bring up, I didn't really gather, and from what I asked about, there was nothing really specific where you could say there's a lack of effort. I'll just get right to it. Wilson Contreras, Cubs catcher, who was an all-star in 2018 and 2019, having a pretty solid season right now, above a 2 WAR, not really hitting as well as he's capable of, but his defense behind the plate has been very sharp. Here is the quote, everybody. Wilson Contreras was asked after the Cubs' 6-0 loss to the Cardinals at Wrigley Field if the effort was there from his team. Contreras replied, no. And this is a weird loss in translation thing. He goes, no, I don't, to be honest. I feel like everybody was off. Everybody was distracted. I don't know why. Probably because the All-Star break is pretty close. I don't think that way, but I didn't think we were on today. And then was asked, does Contreras consider himself a team leader? He says, of course. Then he didn't feel he could say something to his teammates. He goes, I don't think there is a lot going on, he said. There are a lot of things I'd like to say, but I'd rather keep them to myself than say it. Well, that doesn't sound like a leader, Wilson, if I'm being honest with you. And I'm a big Wilson Contreras fan. Let's just be clear about that. Contreras basically absolved himself and Javier Baez from blame and said everyone else has to work on their own work ethic. Here's more from Wilson. We have to win as a team, but I also cannot ask everybody to play like I do or to play like Baez and I play, he said. Everyone is different. I know they might be tired, but I'm here to win. I'm here to compete, and that's what I like to get from everybody else. Okay, right? That's you know, I hear what he's saying, and as fans, there's part of us that's like, yes, someone needs to shine a light on the poor play. But then you do think about it, and it does feel like he's throwing his teammates under the bus. What I'm about to say is going to be very unpopular with a lot of Cubs fans, I feel like, gathering from how people responded to the news of what Wilson Contreras said all over social media. I think a lot of the people who are saying that, though, maybe he didn't play organized sports. I don't know. Who am I to assume this? But I feel like if one of my teammates went running around saying all this stuff, I'd be like, hey, why don't you say it to us first? Okay, was there an effort? Maybe Contreras could say, hey, I have been bringing it up. I've been talking in this clubhouse constantly. Nothing gets through. So at this point, my frustration boiled over and I just couldn't lie to the press anymore. If that's the case, I'm on your side, Wilson. I'm on your side. Okay, so Cubs manager David Ross, though, disagreed with the comments, as any manager would when it reflects poorly on him. I guess you got to imagine there, all right? By the way, I'm getting these quotes I have to mention from the Chicago Tribune. They were just the easiest website to dig them up, which is weird because usually they're not that easy a website. So manager David Ross basically said, I get it. He's frustrated. He goes, Wilson is a big part of our team. And I think that what he said Saturday night needs to be said in-house and not to the media. I think he understands that. I think that's a good lesson, but I think some good is going to come out of that. If that makes any sense. That's basically what Ross said. He had the, if not makes any sense line. That's not coming from me. And, you know, a lot of people are basically mad at David Ross by saying this is stuff you should say. Now, I'm torn on this a little bit because I feel it's very overrated, the sense that teams need the rah-rah leadership thing. I think the modern athlete is very different than athletes from 20 years ago or so, or even 15 years ago. Today's athlete, who's, you know, late 20s, early 30s, whatever, early 20s even, late 30s even, they grew up with the social media world, with the 24-hour news network world, with the world of having Google and all the YouTube and all the information at your fingertips. They've seen the viral videos of managers losing their mind and flipping tables and getting an umpire's face. They've seen the rants from, you know, people in locker rooms and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if it has the punch that it used to. I don't know if it lands the way those things used to. I remember in the 2007 season, the Cubs were kind of playing real up and down baseball. You know, they were struggling a little bit. It felt like they needed a spark. Lou Piniella went out there and had a big, huge Lou Piniella tirade that he had been known for. Sweet Lou, they called him. It's kind of like an oxymoron. You know, it's like when you call a huge guy tiny. That was the deal with Sweet Lou, although I've heard nothing but great things about him. So maybe there was some truth to the fact that he was sweet. But he was also known for getting in umpires' faces and, you know, kicking dirt and all that kind of stuff, which I do think there's a time and a place for that, I suppose, because you do want to wake up your team to be like, hey, I'm here. I'm watching this game. I'm right there with you as a manager. I get that. But some of the stuff where it's like, I don't know, going to the press, and everyone's just like, Wilson's a tough guy who needs this. And Wilson is a tough guy. He took a 96-mile-an-hour fastball off the head on Friday and stayed in the game. Like, this dude's tough. And I'm a fan, but this is an unpopular take, I'm sure. I'm not a fan of going to the press. But then again, I'm saying this with a grain of salt, because if I find out from Wilson or someone else where it's like, no, Contreras has been pretty adamant about it and all that kind of stuff, and maybe that's what that fight was with Rizzo. I would hate to think there's a divide in the clubhouse with these comments. It kind of makes you think there might be a divide between like Wilson and Javi versus KB and Rizzo, or Rizzo and Hap, or Rizzo and who else knows. But if you guys recall, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I want to say, there was a dust up between Contreras and Rizzo in the locker room that they both right away said, no, it's not a big deal. We're totally cool. All this kind of stuff. Don't put too much into it. We're family, and family, you know, you get at each other's throats sometimes, but we love each other. It's fine. Everyone else forgot about it because the Cubs were kind of still in the midst of winning things. So it didn't seem like a big deal, but now we're starting to put pieces together. And there's been a lot of talk of the fact that the Cubs are one of six teams that have not hit that 85% threshold, in which if a team has 85% of its players and close personnel vaccinated, then there's restrictions lifted off the team, meaning they could go back out to dinner at restaurants and do all sorts of fun stuff. Their families could travel with them. There's more freedom, right? And there was this dark cloud over the team heading into the season. You know, there wasn't really exactly an endorsement of confidence from ownership or the front office, or however you want to spin it, because, you know, the front office can only do so much of if there's no budget. You know, that's why I'm always cautious when people say this front office stinks about any team. I go, well, what is the ownership doing? Because the front office doesn't write the checks. I'm sure, you know, if I was president of baseball operations or a general manager of any team, I would want to sign everybody, you know, but I can't. I'm bound by a budget. I have to do what the budget says, essentially. So with Darvish traded, Caratini and Kyle Schwarber non-tendered, and Lester wanted back, but they couldn't scrounge up the pennies for him. You know, there was a lot going into this season where you're like, all right, what's going on? Then there was like, okay, baseball's probably going to be open to 10% capacity. We found some change. Go sign Jake Arrieta and Jock Peterson and get Jake Mariznick and Trevor Williams. Just all guys who are, again, you're shopping from the DVD bin at the end of the aisle. You know, the one where you're like, I don't even know they made, really? Meatballs 3? They made a Caddyshack 4? What is this? Right? They go straight to DVD stuff. Aladdin 5, A Pooh Goes for a Walk. What is this nonsense? That's what we're shopping from. And, you know, that stuff's going to catch up to you at some point. You have to know that as a GM, there's only so much you could do when that is your budget. Bet online, everybody. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and your UFC MMA action. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't stand the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in the game as your team preps for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, promo code locked on. So just to add to the whole drama of the weekend with Contreras saying what he did and Ross coming out and saying what he did, some people are saying, well, Ross is being a hypocrite because he's going to the media calling out Contreras for calling out his teammates. It's a little different when you're the manager and you're asked a direct question and you have to respond to an incident that happened. You know, if Ross straight up went to the media, I would be all over him for this too. If he came out to the media and said, this specific player is doing blah, 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 then yeah, that's not a cool move right there. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, what about when he pulled Javi from the game, but the game before he didn't pull Rizzo? Well, there was a difference there. There was a difference. And again, I have to remind ourselves, because we do love these players, although a lot of us do agree it's time to move on. There was some protective Javi there. There's kind of like, sometimes people are like, Javi's my favorite, Rizzo's my favorite, Bryant's my favorite. And whoever's your favorite, you're going to defend in that situation. Now, Javi, though, everyone acted like this was a first time for him. It was not. I remember a lot of people calling for him to be pulled from a game sometime in late April. I remember he hit a ball off the wall and it only was a single because he pimped it thinking it was going to be a home run. He's done that a few times. There was one time he made a real lazy throw over to Rizzo. His throws get lazy from time to time. So it's kind of weird when Wilson Contreras goes out of his way to say plays like me and Javi. Does he mean like passionate and that style? Because I don't look, and he even said, I can't make people play that way. But to act like that's a more focused way is kind of not true. That seems a little bit of a dumb comparison on Willie's part. Also, Wilson Contreras, dude. Your base running sucks so often that it kind of bothered me reading that, especially in the wake of one of the big highlights from the Cubs' loss on Saturday night to the St. Louis Cardinals by a score of 6-0, was the fact that Anthony Rizzo dove into the netting to try to catch a foul ball. There's no effort there. You didn't think that was effort? This is a guy that is in the last year of a contract. Why would he risk injury for a foul ball if he didn't care? I think this team does care, but like I said before, there was a black cloud going into the season. They all knew they had to get off to a real hot start so that management would add and not subtract. And when they hit that tough stretch at the end of June and they couldn't get out of it and they kept spiraling because everyone was trying to be hero and they're pressing at the plate, It got worse and worse. So I never thought I saw a lack of effort from this Cubs team. I didn't. I just never thought that was there. I've seen lack of focus at times, and literally it was out of Javi. Or you see Wilson trying to do too much. Now, Rizzo, the one game people thought he should have got yanked from, he got picked off base a few times. I don't know if there was a lack of focus or just being a bad base runner. You know, it's a little different. If Javier Baez was just having a bad game where he was striking out a bunch and he got yanked, that's a little different. We'll see. Javier Baez got pulled from that game because once, this wasn't talked about enough, Rizzo's batting, right? I mean, even take a leadoff on one of the pitches. He was so in his own brain. I'm surprised he wasn't writing his name with his finger in the dirt around first base. That's how off into another world he was. And it paints, by the way, I don't like saying this about Javi because I'm a huge Javier Baez fan. I got his poster frame right behind me. So just to be clear on that right now, he then thinks there's two outs when there was one and goes running around the bases. People are screaming, what are you doing? So I don't think, I think at that point I was okay with David Ross doing that. The timing of it being Javi made people question things because it's like, why didn't he get rid of his boy Rizzo the next day? Sure, I get that. I understand that, but I'd like to imagine if Rizzo had pulled the same moves, Ross would have yanked him too. That's another thing. I really feel like David Ross, unfairly, people went into, before he managed his first game, people were saying, he's just going to coddle his buddies. He's Grandpa Rossi. Is he really going to discipline him? Is he going to be the silly guy? And then I had to remind certain people at this time, Ross was considered the leader of the World Series winning team. The vocal leader. He was the guy that had pulled people aside. There was a rough stretch in 2015 and he pulled Starlin Castro aside and said, you got to focus. What are you doing? And remember, Starlin Castro was the guy who famously got caught on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball with his back to the batter and pitcher. Like he was turned around looking into the bleachers while a pitch was being thrown. He could have gotten a line drive off the spine, which would have been hilarious in retrospect. Very cartoonish, but dangerous. Super dangerous. You got to pay attention out there. You got kids watching. And Ross was that guy that was known about that in the dugout. So that's why when he says you should have kept that in-house to Wilson Contreras, I think Ross does have credibility in that situation. Because the fact that not most, but a good portion of Cubs fans think of David Ross as this cuddly grandpa when everyone in the know, meaning people who are around the team, people who played on the team, reporters who followed the team, know that David Ross, he was that red ass. He was that guy that would get in teammates' faces and say, hey, that's not how we're going to play baseball around here. We got to toughen up. You know, there's a reason that everyone went to him for advice. You know, catchers see, there's a reason that so many former catchers are major league managers. They see the game from a different standpoint. It's a tough position. I hope Wilson Contreras, if he chooses and wants to be, is a manager one day, hopefully for the Cubs, you know, when his career is done in hopefully around 8 to 10 years, you know? So it's another thing too. And then people will bring up the Miguel Montero thing when he threw Arrieta under the bus. And it's like, remember that? Remember when Montero was right and he lost his job for it? Can I also remind you guys that Montero was terrible that year? And he was in the last year of a 3-year deal. It wasn't even a 3-year deal. We traded for him, but he had 3 years left on his contract that he'd signed with the Diamondbacks. And I'm a Miguel Montero fan. He had a grand slam in game one of the NLCS against the Dodgers. He had the insurance run in game seven to help us win a World Series. I'm a Miguel Montero fan, but I'm not a fan of people rewriting history. I do not like that at all. Okay. So again, if Wilson Contreras would have just kept it in-house, I think it would have been a better way overall. All right. Let's talk about Brennan Davis. Like, let's talk about some stuff. We got to keep one eye to the future now, sadly, you know, because again, with all this turmoil going on with the Cubs in 2021, end of the day, doesn't really matter, does it? It doesn't. It's not like, oh no, the clubhouse is ripped apart. Now we're not going to make the playoffs this year. We already know it's not going to happen. Brennan Davis, though, is a guy I have been praising whenever I get a chance because I love the swing. Watch the highlights. Do yourself a favor. Look up the highlights from Brennan Davis's performance in the MLB All-Stars Futures game, which is a game they play every year featuring some of the best talent in the minor leagues. And the Cubs had two representatives in Brennan Davis and Manuel Rodriguez, whose nickname is Manrod, which is kind of fun. He looked great, hitting 100 miles an hour. Pretty sweet. But Brennan Davis went deep twice, becoming only the third player in baseball history since the Futures game was invented to have two home runs in the same game. Other one was Alfonso Soriano and a guy whose name I forgot because the ad went away, or not the ad, the tab. What did I click off? I X'd it out on accident. Didn't mean to. Anyway, Soriano's a former Cub, so that's a fun name to remember, right? Brennan Davis is in Double A. His overall numbers don't look as eye-popping, but his last 20 games have been. He's been on an absolute tear. Strikeout rate a little bit uncharacteristically high from what he had showed in 2019 at A-ball. Obviously, 2020, there was no minor league season. And he looks to be the real deal. Center fielder who they think will play an above-average center field. Some people think he could have been a 30-30 guy. I've talked to some people who think the stolen bases will not be nearly as high as we hope. So he projects to be center fielder. Obviously, he could play right or left very well. And he could. Some people think they like him batting second. Some people think he'd be a good number five hitter, even number four hitter. He's got 30 home run potential. I mean, these were two big bombs. I mean, it's Coors Field, but still, he took one was a 96-mile-an-hour fastball, a little bit up that he hammered to center field. And then the next pitch was a breaking ball that he just... He must have knew it was coming, or he read that right out of the hand, because he was all over that thing to left center field. It's just a short, compact swing. That's what I always look for when I try to give my own personal judgment of minor leaguers. Because again, what do I know really? You know, I'm not, there's some great people out there like Brian Smith, who follows the Cubs on Bleacher Nation, and you know, all these experts who really, they're deep in MLB's pipeline and they're following everything. I just go off the eye test. Remember, the Cubs had this prospect, Felix Pie, in the mid-2000s, mid to late 2000s, 2007-ish, I want to say 2008. And he was highly touted, and everyone's like, this guy's a five-tool player. He's going to do this, this, and this. I remember the first time I saw him swing, I go, nope. And I'm an optimistic guy, but I remember just being like, that is a long, not that pretty a swing. You're left-handed. If you're a lefty and your swing isn't pretty, I'm not jumping up for joy for you. Kyle Schwarber, first time I saw his swing, I was like, that's a masher right there. That is a nice, nice swing. And I was right. You know, obviously he's had his problems, but the swing was there. And I look at Brennan Davis' swing and another guy the Cubs have who's off to a bad start, which was kind of expected because there was no season last year and he was coming off out of high school ball. So, but he's been turning on of late. Ed Howard, nice, short, controlled swing. These swings that just aren't too long and loopy. Think of Ian Happ's struggles right now. Swing just too long and loopy. He worked hard to tighten up that swing over the last season and a half, Happ did, and I don't know what happened to make him go back off the rails. Ian Happ lost his arbitration battle with the Cubs in the offseason, and maybe he kind of tried to put that as a chip on his shoulder going into this year, got off to a little bit of a rough start, and then there you go. He's been pressing ever since and just hasn't looked right at the plate, which is a bummer because we were expecting big things out of Ian Happ. If Ian Happ was the way he was in 2020, with the rise of Nico Horner, Brennan Davis probably coming sometime in 2022, even with some people leaving, you're feeling a little bit better with the Cubs as a whole because there's some big arms on their way. I'll be talking about a big arm that they're just drafted last night. I'll give you guys the scoop on Jordan Wicks. But Built Bar, everybody. Built Bar, available this week. Get the new Built Bar flavor, Grasshopper Cookie. Grasshopper Cookie, you might be thinking to yourself, what is that? What does that taste like? Well, this is Built Bar's version of the classic Thin Mint Cookie. You know that Girl Scout cookie we all love? It's all that flavor without all that sugar. It's 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, what's up, and only 5 grams of sugar. That's the big one to go along with all of Built Bar's other amazing flavors because the sugar thing's big for me. A lot of these nutrition bars, they're not really that nutritious. They are loaded with sugar. That sugar will get you. It'll eat you up. So check out all these other flavors. We got coconut. We got raspberry. We got mint brownie. Double chocolate. One I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to try. Salted caramel. Strawberry. Orange. Cookies and cream. And German chocolate. Unreal. They all range from 17 to 18 grams of protein. Can't beat that, right? Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar. Phenomenal. So here's the offer, everyone. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCK15 at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. That's pretty sweet, right? The Cubs with the 21st pick of the 2021 Major League Baseball Draft select out of Kansas State left-hander Jordan Wicks. Huh? Huh? You excited? Some of you are probably thinking, don't know who that is. I get it. You might not, right? But Jordan Wicks. Everyone, I always keep wanting to say Jordan Hicks, but Jordan Wicks was rated as the best southpaw, the best lefty in the draft. He was as high as 13 and even 12 on a couple pre-draft boards. You know, Keith Law, who's very famous and very well respected, had him right up there, number 13, number 12. And a lot of people believe that he is a guy that's going to not really need all that much time in the minors. So who knows, maybe late in the 2022 season, maybe he's starting in the 2023 rotation. Some people say, it's kind of a safe pick. There's nothing wrong with that, though. It seems like they got like a John Lester type. His fastball touched 95, 96. Some people, if you're reading the early scouting, says 91, 92, and right away they're thinking, oh, great, the Cubs got another soft tosser. First of all, 91, 92 out of a lefty is a little different than out of a righty, but he was up to 95, 96. The Cubs lately have been doing a good job of increasing velocity. His RPMs and spin rate were very good, so hopefully not using any of the sticky stuff at the college level. We don't know if that's happening down there or not. He's 6'3", 220. Again, there's where the John Lester comparison comes in, but he has the best changeup in the entire draft. Some people, they're saying it's a major league ready changeup, Cole Hamels-esque. He could very well slot right into the Cubs' top 10 prospects list when those come out. So it's really, I like the move. I like the move a lot. Starter pitcher. Again, it seems like more of a, we're not in it for a long rebuild type. If Jed Hoyer's words ring true from his latest press conference that he had over the weekend, then this is a draft pick that you like. Because if they take a high school player, there's no sense of urgency there. But they took a pitcher, a lefty, one who they think, you know, can miss a lot of bats and impact the team in the short term and long term as well. Short term meaning, like, again, like I said, who knows? Maybe sometime in 2023 he makes an appearance. Because if his game is that refined, he's not going to need all that much developing. I like the move a lot. Jordan Hicks, everybody. Who knows if he's going to be a top of the rotation guy or a middle of the rotation guy, but even a mid rotation guy, you still like. I have to remind people from time to time that drafting is difficult and the majority of first round picks don't even make it. There's a good, I think like I would guess like 50% of draft picks, at least definitely 50% of the first round, they don't become stars. They might make it to the show, but I would maybe 30% actually become like solid Major League Baseball players. So even if you draft a number three starter in the first round, that's a good draft, especially at the 21st pick. You never know, though. You never know. He could be even bigger. It could be worse. But it seems like he's got a higher floor, meaning at worst case scenario, they could still see him making the majors. Maybe he turns into a lefty reliever or something like that. High end number two starter, maybe with some ace potential if they could get that velocity ticking up a little bit more. So the Cubs now, starting pitcher-wise, you know, Justin Steele, by the way, everyone, they're stretching him out, and he pitched a great game yesterday at Triple-A Iowa, looking a lot better, carrying that 95-mile-an-hour heat throughout, too, because that's the worry when you stretch out a guy who had been only throwing an inning at a time to get four or five innings in. Will the fastball velocity dip? It did not. Good to see. Hopefully we see Justin Steele end of July regularly in the rotation, and we get a good couple months to look at him. And then if Braylon Marquez comes off, you know, he had a little bit of a shoulder strain. He dealt with COVID. Again, though, the guy throws 101. If he comes back fully healthy, which it didn't sound super serious, at that level, it's kind of like, all right, we don't take any chances. You know, you could be, I'm not saying 2022, but 2023, the Cubs could very well have a rotation. That'll be Kyle Hendricks' last year under Cubs contract. But it could be Hendricks, Adbert, who, again, you guys know I love his upside. He's got to work on some stuff still, especially giving up home runs to left-handed hitters. He needs maybe he could learn a changeup from Jordan Wicks from the left side. But you got Adbert, too. Braylon Marquez with that 101-mile-an-hour heat. He could be your three. Justin Steele, four. Jordan Wicks, five. Those are five homegrown guys right there. And it gives you all the money to go buy some hitters. But I also do think we need to sign a free agent in pitching this offseason, too. So anyway, depth. Depth is the name of the game. It gives you a chance to, you know, not rush the development of some of these guys, right? All right, the All-Star game is upon us. You know what? I'm teasing you guys. I'm going to save this for tomorrow's episode. I talked about how I was going to say some of my favorite All-Star game moments earlier on. I'm going to save that for tomorrow's episode. We'll talk about the old Midsummer Classic, as it's been dubbed, whether or not the game even has a future with all these guys dropping out of it all the time. A A lot of people have been bowing out. So we'll get into all that on tomorrow's podcast. I thank you all for listening. You guys are the best. And check out Locked On Today, everybody. Get all your sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.